You're listening to After Deadline on Coast Community Radio. I'm Aaron Fiedler, reporter for the Seaside Signal. In early May, longtime Seaside Chamber of Commerce Executive Director Al Smiles left the organization after 8 years. Before he left, the chamber went through an extensive search to find his replacement. They ultimately settled on Susan Huntington, an experienced chamber executive with stints in the Dalles and Newport. She's been on the job now for almost 2 months. Welcome, Susan.
Thanks, Aaron. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Yeah, well, I'm happy to be here in beautiful Astoria.
Wonderful. So, Susan, you just made it through your first big event, beach soccer. Tell us, how did it go?
Well, it was an eye-opening experience coming from desert sand to beach sand. I didn't even know they played beach soccer until the committee met the first time when I was in my office watching them, and their beach soccer balls arrived. They promptly all blew up the balls and took off their shoes and started kicking them around in my office. And I said, what are you doing? And they said, well, we're trying to see how these balls work. And they said, you know, this is a very cushiony ball. And I said, okay, why? Well, because it's played barefoot. In fact, our number one injury on beach soccer is broken toes. And I thought, oh, here we go. Boy, this is going to be great.
I understand your grandson plays, or one of your grandsons plays in the beach soccer tournament every year.
I had no idea until we were actually in it, and they called and said, we're coming to Seaside for beach soccer. And so I got to see family, got to see my grandson Andres play. He's a great soccer player. So that was a lot of fun. No broken toes this year.
That's always a good thing.
Yeah. Now, we had 91 teams and beautiful weather. It was awesome.
Great. So, Susan, tell us a little bit about your background, kind of where you grew up, how you got here.
Well, they found me in the cabbage patch out in a little town called Maupin, Oregon, which is out in Wasco County on the Deschutes River. I was raised there. My parents moved down to the Willamette Valley, down to Monmouth, when I was in high school. And my dad was the head of a big lumber company, at the time one of the bigger ones in Oregon, Mountain Fir Lumber Company. And I went to school, graduated from Central High School, then went on to community college in Bend. My dad wouldn't let me go to the University of Oregon because it was full of hippies. I'll give away my age. But he wasn't very bright because there were hippies in Bend. So that's where I went to college for a couple of years, met and married my husband, and, well, here we are.
And you have three kids?
I have three children. I have a daughter who has a daughter, my only granddaughter. I have two sons. My middle child, the oldest son, has three sons, and then my youngest son is just getting married this next month.
So. Wonderful.
It's very exciting.
So talk a little bit about how you got into chamber work. I know we've talked a little bit in the past about how much you love chamber work, but talk a little bit about how that happened.
I like chamber work because it's like being a cricket in a skillet. You know, you never know what's going to happen. And no day is ever the same. And you can have a little depth of knowledge in a wide variety of areas and be fairly successful with it. And I've enjoyed it for over 20 years now. And I think that it was one of those jobs where I thought, you know, I watch from the outside. And I thought, that looks like something I'd like to do. But really, it was the fact that I became the state president of the Oregon JCs that really kind of put me in the focus, I guess, for getting that job. And it's very much the same as working for a membership club. We do community events. We're membership based. We have quite a bit of political activity or government relations type activity and economic development. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it, especially if you're a people person. Right. You know, you can't beat it.
So your first chamber job was at in the Dalles, correct?
Yes.
And 36 when you got that first job, right?
Yes.
We won't say how long you were there. But
I'm 59, Aaron. I'm 59, and I know.
A gentleman never asks, so.
No, I'm telling you.
So talk about some of the challenges that you had at 36 taking over this job, this chamber job in the Dalles.
Oh, my gosh. Well, the Dalles, I think it might be a little bit similar to Clatsop County in that it's a fairly conservative. And I was the first woman director at the Chamber of Commerce there. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of concern just about how serious this Chamber of Commerce was. So, I was, you know, probably the granddaughter's age of most of the business owners that I initially dealt with, especially the people that owned the real estate in the town. So that was interesting. But, you know, I think that in the end, I probably taught them as much as they taught me in a very different way because of my age and the things that transpired from the time that about when I graduated from high school on, you know, women really were becoming community leaders in different ways and government leaders also. So we kind of grew each other up in that way.
Right, right. Are you finding, I mean, obviously they're very different communities, Seaside's on the coast, the Dalles mm-hmm. is in the gorge. What are you finding similarities, though, between the two communities?
It's funny. I find more similarity in Seaside with the Dalles than I do with Newport.
Really?
Honestly, very much. It's the culture mm-hmm. of the community. A lot of very strong individuals that have a lot of pride in their community. And also the small town nature. Everybody knows you and embraces you. It's welcoming. So that's very nice. You know, I really feel at home because of that. Newport is much more of a transient kind of feeling than the other two communities.
So you were in the Dalles for 17 years, correct?
Oh, I was in the Dalles for a long time.
A long time.
I was at the Chamber for 17 years.
Okay.
I actually ran the Mid-Columbia Food Share mm-hmm. program for 7 years before I went to the Chamber of Commerce. So.
Great. How did you make that transition, the transition from that position into the Chamber job?
Well, it was because, as I said earlier, I had reached a place of notoriety in the community, becoming mm-hmm. the state president of the Oregon JCs that really put me in people's minds as being able to do that kind of work. Mm-hmm. And as the food share director, I actually was the community action representative to the chamber. So I've been involved with the organization as a member. So it was a very easy transition.
And then after the Dalles, you went to Newport.
Yes.
And how did that come about?
Well, my husband's business burned to the ground is really why it came about. In fact, it was all over the Northwest News. Mm-hmm. It was August. Somebody driving down I-84 flicked a cigarette out into the dry weeds. And he is one of eight owners of the big chip plant there. So anybody driving back and forth had to have noticed all the log decks out there, which all caught on fire. The winds were so high that they actually blew the fire across the Columbia River and caught Washington on fire. So it was a big conflagration, let me tell you. And after that, you know, it was just really hard for him to find something else to do. And so we decided we better find someplace else to go. So we moved to Newport and he's still there. I moved to Seaside without him. I left him at our house where he's the executive director of the Community Development Corporation for Lincoln County. And he's going to do some projects and then retire and come to Seaside.
How have you guys been making that work in the interim? What is it, 2 hours down to Newport?
We take turns driving back and forth for the weekend, but he's having to come up here more because we have more weekend obligations, obviously, but he's not suffering any Except he did almost run over a bear.
Oh, that's not good.
I don't know if you heard about that. When he was driving back one early Monday morning back to Newport, a bear ran out across the road in front of him and was quite startling. So they are out there.
What have been your first impressions of Seaside, kind of the larger North Coast, the business community and the community at large?
Well, my view was already kind of slanted, I guess, before I came, because I always viewed in my mind, at least, that Seaside was all about tourism and having a good time. And so far, I've found that's probably pretty true. I'm having a pretty good time. So we'll see. So it's been interesting to kind of see how the tourism trickles out in the community to like the professional community and also into the area where we have more processing, fishing, any kind of manufacturing and everything that's not specifically located in Seaside proper. Mm-hmm. Kind of see how those all tie together and support each other. That's been pretty interesting. But, you know, I'm appreciative of the strategies that the community in Seaside utilizes to get through the slow seasons and how the other businesses survive. So it's been an interesting education and one that you have to appreciate.
Right.
They've got years of practice.
You're listening to After Deadline on Coast Community Radio. We're joined today by Susan Huntington, the new executive director of the Seaside Chamber of Commerce. So your time in Newport, how long were you? You were with the chamber there for a while, correct?
Yeah, not quite 2 years. That was, it was interesting. It was like night and day between my chamber experience in the Dalles and my chamber experience there, you know. It certainly wasn't the people. I think it was really the culture of the organization was very different. And I was really involved in political action at the chamber in the Dalles and had, in fact, started a group we called Community Outreach. It was basically a lobbying group of a handful of community leaders. And we went to Washington, D.C. twice a year and strived to be able to bring federal appropriations back to our community. And we were terrifically successful. I think that probably as of today, they probably had about $18 million in direct federal appropriations to the Dalles, Oregon, which is not on anybody's map. So, you know, that was really my strength and my passion. So, going into a chamber that I thought really was interested in that, because that was what I was really known for, I was really taken aback because they really weren't interested in changing the culture of their organization at all. And they, you know, they're very happy. I think they were happy before I got there, and I think they were happy when I was gone because they're very social. They have a lot of dances and things like that. They do the tourism there, but they're just a world apart from really what I was used to. And I think that it was important for me to go. Just for my own sanity too, I had to find a place where I really could be contributing more than I was ever going to be able to do there. So it took a little while. I ran my own business in Newport, an event planning, which really fed into coming to an event supported chamber like Seaside.
Right.
So hopefully I'll be able to bring some of the skills with the political connections that I have to benefit Seaside, and of course use my skills in event planning and delivery.
Sure. What was it about the Seaside Chamber job, about Seaside, that attracted you to this position?
It's funny, they put a post. I've got to remember where I even saw it. Might have been on Oregon Chamber Exec's website. But they said two things, that they were interested in somebody that was interested in community partnerships, which is, as I've told you, is really what I'm interested in, and making things happen for a small community that you could never do by yourself. But if you got enough people together, that you really could be successful. And the other was the, someone that was had a lot of enthusiasm. And I thought, well, you know, I'm an old broad, but I have a lot of enthusiasm, and especially for the kind of work that I love so much. So those two things really caught my eye, and I thought that might be a good fit for me. And so far, I feel like it is.
So far, so good. You hadn't, the chamber job and the DAOs, I know in particular, we talked about this, and I think maybe Newport, they weren't really event-driven chambers.
No.
And Seaside is very much an event-driven chamber.
So yes.
How are you adapting to that, and what experience have you kind of brought into to this position for that?
Well, we obviously did events in both of those other chambers. I mean, in Newport, everybody in the Northwest knows about their Seafood and Wine Festival.
Right.
And, of course, there's a very, very large Seafood and Wine Festival here in Astoria, too, that's very comparable. In the DAOs, we did something that was not as well known, but it was big to us, and that was the Northwest Cherry Festival, because, of course, we have a lot of cherry growers there in that area of the DAOs. And so I have experience doing these big events that the community really counts on. I would say in Seaside, they probably count on the events from a financial perspective far more than the other two communities. Newport has, you know, they turn about 30,000 people the weekend of the Seafood and Wine Festival, but they don't really do any other kinds of events like that. And the DAOs was never done for visitors. Their big festival was part of the local culture of something that people have been doing for 35 years, you know, and it's very old fashioned. To me, it's charming because they still have the cherry sweetheart, you know, and the princesses and the parades and all of the kind of old fashioned things that really mean a lot to the community, but they're not time or resource, you know, easy on an organization. So I think having gone through that and running my own business there in Newport certainly made coming to Seaside and their events not be surprising, except for the size. Mm-hmm. To say the size of the events that the Newport Chamber does with a staff of three people and their vast number of volunteers is really astonishing. So the economic impact we figured this last weekend for this soccer tournament had been, this is the fourth year, have been like $350,000 for the weekend. And that's a very modest, that didn't count like the people that just came to watch. That was mm-hmm. the people that were directly involved. So, you know, that's noteworthy. And everyone says, oh, if you like that, wait till beach volleyball in August, you know, because it's so much bigger and involves so much more. But I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I'm impressed. They've got it down.
Yeah, and that's something I wanted to ask you about was one thing that I've been in Seaside for about 2 months, and one thing I've noticed is how volunteer-driven the community is mm-hmm. and how civically involved the community is. Mm-hmm. How does that help you do your job?
Well, it's easy because people can't escape from you. I likened my welcome in Seaside, I know, to you as death by being licked by puppies because everyone is so excited about you being there, and they're so welcoming and everything. I was exhausted because I could go 15 hours a day because the same people that wanted to take me to breakfast, I would have lunch with, and then, oh, come have dinner with me and my friends, you know, and pretty soon I felt within 10 days that I knew a lot of the people there because they're on the spay and neuter board. They're on the food bank board. They're, with building houses. They're in our office. Doug's on the volunteer fire department. I mean, everybody is doing a number of things, and you have an opportunity to see them at all times. I think that it is hilarious that there is a downtown development breakfast on every Thursday morning, a chamber breakfast on every Friday morning, and about 90% of the people are the same mm-hmm. in both of them. I don't know why they don't have one big breakfast, because it's basically the same people, but they are there for different purposes.
So mm-hmm.
It's wild.
I understand that in this first couple of months, you've been dating your board members.
I have.
And so dinners.
Are
and
you jealous?
A little bit.
Okay.
So, excuse me, I understand you've been getting to see the sights in Seaside, see what's important, or see what your board members think's important.
I'm trying to get them while they still think I'm new and shiny. That was one of the things that I told them. If I come here to work for you, I want you to take me out on dates. I want to have lunch with you or coffee with you or whatever. I want you to show me where you work. I want you to take me for a drive and show me your favorite place, because that's how I'm really going to be able to learn about this area very quickly. And it has been a ball. I've gotten to really get to know them much closer and see some things that I probably could have lived here for a long time and never even known about.
Right. You're listening to After Deadline on Coast Community Radio. We're joined today by Susan Huntington, the new executive director of the Seaside Chamber of Commerce. So I know you've only been here 2 months, and this is probably a little beyond 2 months, but have you started to think about what your vision for this chamber will be, or what it is?
Yes. It was very obvious to me, but I'm not going to come in here and really try and turn an aircraft carrier. Coming from North Carolina, you'll appreciate this because that doesn't happen quickly. So I really wanted to observe and be a part of everything as it has been, and then make some assessments. But early on, I got the idea that probably the things that would suit this organization very well is to really evaluate a couple of things that they do for the cost to the organization, and try and spend those resources, those staff and finance resources, a little more directly to business development, because that's something that would benefit all of the businesses across the board, rather than waiting for some of the things we do are very tourism focused. So not all of our members really get a direct hit from that. So I think that trying to build probably a government affairs kind of committee where we can engage in with our elected officials and represent the interests of our business community better is something that I think it has gone on in Seaside in the past. It's just not been something that they've done recently. So I think that the government relations and the business advocacy are two areas that I would really like to see some changes.
Tying off of that, what are some of the challenges that you see in the community?
Ooh. Well, I guess what I've considered a challenge, I see changing, and that has been, of course, the economy. Mm-hmm. That keeping people at home has not been to the benefit of a community like Seaside. So I see that as a change. But I think that the infrastructure that we have probably could be enhanced for business development and growth. Fortunately, in Clatsop County, you can see that there is a lot of business development maybe more in the Warrenton area, just because of the land use opportunities they have that a community like Seaside doesn't have. I feel like we're on an island, kind of, and mm-hmm. I see that as a problem, one that there's not anything that we can do to really change that, but to try and diversify the business mix in the community where we can, because, you know, it doesn't suit anyone to have an accounting business down on the prom, obviously. So, but we do have land. We do have opportunities there, and try and diversify that a little bit, I think, will be a challenge that we should always be looking to address.
So before I ask you about some upcoming events here at the Chamber, I have to ask you, are you prepared for Hood to Coast coming into town?
I thought you were going to ask me if I'm prepared for the tsunami.
That's a whole other show.
It's the same thing, isn't it? Yes, I am. And yes, I am. The closest I've been to Hood to Coast is that I knew people from the Dalles that run in it, and I saw it on TV. So, no, it's only a fantasy in my mind what it will be like, but, of course, the chamber's responsibility only in that is pouring beer, which apparently is, fast and furious. But as I informed them when I was state president of the JCs, I worked in the beer garden at the St. Paul Rodeo, so they don't scare me at all. So yes, I'm prepared. And I have my suitcase packed for the tsunami.
Well, that's good. Both things are good. Upcoming events, I know 4th of July is huge.
Yes.
In a few weeks here, beach volleyball. Tell me about some of the events.
Okay. Well, the Chamber does all of the planning and fundraising, everything for the fireworks. And I understand it's the largest fireworks display on the Oregon coast, which wouldn't surprise me because via the JCs, I know the guy that's the head of the fireworks that sets them all off. Mm-hmm. They've been working on this long before I got there to raise the money and put on a fantastic show. Of course, it's tied to music that comes on the radio simultaneously. It's all awesome. And that morning, the museum organizes the 4th of July parade. Then in August, we have the Seaside Beach Volleyball. And 2 weeks later, Hood to Coast. And 3 hours after that, they'll be hauling my carcass off the beach.
Well, it sounds like you've got a busy summer coming up here and dove in maybe head first into this new job.
It's all good.
Well, Susan, thanks so much for joining us here today. It's been a pleasure to get to talk to you some more.
Some more. I know. I think we've got something going. You and I are the new guys down there.
We're the new guys, yeah. And we're everywhere. So
that's right. And it's so nice to come to Astoria. I'm excited up here. I love Skip Hauke, all you guys that live up here. I've known him for a long time. He's a bad boy.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Aaron Fiedler. This is After Deadline on Coast Community Radio.